We're going to look at a topic tonight. It's a devotional topic, but it has practical aspects to it. We'll look at it tonight. We'll look at it next Wednesday night, God willing, maybe more, but at least one more week. And that is the theme of all your heart. All of your heart. The key to victorious Christian living is to love God with all of your heart. And that's the simple point tonight. We're going to see that and make some observations, mostly from the book of Deuteronomy. But let me say that again, and then let's pray, that the key to victorious Christian living is to love God with all of your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your heartbeat that beats for us. Thank you for your love for us. Forgive us for not returning that love. You as an infinite God have loved us infinitely, and we as limited and infinite people love you even with less than our limited capabilities. Lord, help us to love you with all of our heart. Guide us tonight as we look at your word, and guide us in prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're going to look at the book of Deuteronomy. If you want to turn there, we're going to look at this book and walk through it, reading a series of verses together from the book of Deuteronomy. This book was written by Moses and was at the very least finished by around 1406. It may have been written in 1405 and 06, or it may have been written over a period of time and finished around that time. But we do know that it was completed near the end of the 40-year sentence that the nation of Israel faced, wandering in the wilderness. Of course, you remember that they left around 1446, the nation of Egypt, where they had been enslaved for about 300+ years. That's a long time. That's longer than the nation of the United States has been around. They were enslaved in the nation of Egypt. And after that period of time, God raised up Moses, and Moses led an entire generation of people, millions of people, out of the nation of Egypt. And they walked into the wilderness, and what was supposed to be about a three-month-long journey that included traveling to the promised land, that included several days of Moses being up on the mountain and receiving the Ten Commandments and them establishing the tabernacle and so forth, what was supposed to be just several months turned into 40 years. That's a long time difference. What made the difference? What short-circuited what God was wanting to do? God was not wanting to wait. Well, about 3 or so months into their journeys, they came to the door of the promised land at Kadesh Barnea. We see that in Numbers chapter 15 through 36. And that's where an entire generation of grown Israelites said, "We don't believe that God can do this." God had delivered them from the nation of Egypt against all odds. He had sent the 10 plagues. He had changed the heart of Pharaoh. He had led them through the Red Sea without any water falling upon them or even their sandals getting wet. He had sent all the water and the food that they needed. He had showed himself on Mount Sinai and given them the 10 commandments. He had demonstrated his power in many ways. And he brought them to the edge of the promised land, and they said, "But we don't think he can do this." Then we see, of course, that they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until that entire generation died. And who was left? The next generation was left. If you can put it into perspective here, if you take out, let's say God wanted us to have vacation Bible school and like we just did, and I said, "God wants to save some souls this week, and God wants people in this community to come into this church and to be reached with the gospel." And the adults kind of unanimously agreed, "This pastor is crazy. God can't do that." And you kind of all agreed together that you're just kind of going to lock arms and disagree with the vision that I have, and God is not going to do it. That's strange. Nathaniel looking at me like, "That's strange." That would be strange. It really would. But let's pretend. and pretend that I am in my devotions over here in my office and I get a message from the Lord. That's not going to happen like that. But I come in here like Moses and I say, God has given me some information. We are not going to have Vacation Bible School for 40 years. We're going to put VBS on pause for 40 years. We're going to go through 10 presidential elections. We're going to go through a variety of economic ups and downs. There'll probably be a few wars that we'll engage in over the next decades. And Faith Baptist Church will have no Vacation Bible Schools for 40 years until all people 20 years and older die. And then let's fast forward 10 president cycles ahead and all the grown people 20 years and older here. Let's pretend that you're dead and I'm that really old man up here. I'm about 95 years old and I'm up here and I'm saying, all you out here at Faith Baptist Church now, your mommies and daddies and your college students didn't believe that we could have VBS, but we're going to try it again. We're going to bring back VBS at Faith Baptist Church 40 years later. But a few months ago, I got upset with one of the members who has died now. And because I lost my temper, I can't lead Vacation Bible School. But I've told Joshua here how to run a Vacation Bible School. I've given him all the information. I want him to do that. But before I die, I'm going to die next week up on a mountain. It's all planned. I'm going to give you some final words of advice so that you don't end up like your mommies and daddies 40 years ago. That's the idea. That's a little silly how I presented it, I know, but that's the idea, if you can capture that. So now all the children, 19 years and down at that point, they're filling the pews. And I'm giving my last advice as the one last standing adult, apart from Joshua and Caleb, to other individuals that was present at that time. That's what the book of Deuteronomy is. The whole book is this. It's like a written sermon or a series of several sermons put together. And what my Old Testament professor told me in college was that he likes the theme, if you study the book out, of total devotion. Total devotion. I also like saying it this way, with all of your heart. That's what the book of Deuteronomy is aiming to do. It's aiming to lead the next generation of the nation of Israel to love God and to believe God with all of their heart. That's what this book is about. Let's take a moment here now and let's read a series of verses. You can turn to them. You'll also see them up on the screen. The first is Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29. Let's read this together. Moses says, but if thou from thence, you want to read out loud with me, thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Then turn over to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. Deuteronomy 6, 5, you can also read it on the screen. It says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. Deuteronomy says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Chapter 11 and verse 13 says, and it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Then turn over to 13 and verse 3. It says, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Then if you look down to 13, no, rather over to chapter 26, chapter 26 and verse 16. Deuteronomy 26 and verse 16 says this: This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Then chapter 30 and verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 2 says, And shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Look down to verse 6 of chapter 30. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Then if you look down to verse 10. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou shalt turn unto the Lord thy God, with all thine heart and with all thy soul. And then if you would flip over to Joshua chapter 22. Joshua 22 and verse 5. You see Joshua telling the nation of Israel the same thing. As he prepares to die, he tells the same group of Israelites years after they conquered the promised land and began to settle down, and their children. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5, he says, But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Do you see an emphasis there? What do you think we find that God was concerned would not happen? That they might do what he said. That they might obey some of his commands. That they might settle down, but they wouldn't do it with all of their heart. They would just do it. And if you look back in your life, you'll find that those moments that you gave yourself to God with all of your heart, you found real peace and blessing there. But when your heart was divided and your focus was split, that blessing of God went away. Now, as we look here at this theme tonight, the thing that I want to emphasize is this: how to face new situations. How are we to face new situations and be victorious as a Christian as we enter them? In life, we all face new situations, don't we? We all face new phases of life, new transitions, new experiences come our way. We face things like a new grade in school, college, that comes upon us at a certain point, finding a first job or getting a new job. How about the beginning of a career or switching over to a different career? What about moving to a new home or moving to a new neighborhood or a new state or a new country? What about getting your driver's license? Remember getting your driver's license and driving all alone for the first time, some of you? Remember that feeling? Do you get that feeling now when you sit in the car, Brother Jose? No, you just want to get home and park the thing. But when you start driving, that sense of independence is a very real thing that hits you. It's a new phase, a new experience. How about beginning to court a potential spouse? How about when God begins to give you the idea? That's a new phase. It's a new stage of life. It's a new experience. Marriage is one of these things, a new phase, a new experience. of life. The birth of a child. The first child that's born, if you have a child. And then the next child. Each of these things is a new phase of life. It's a new horizon. Like the nation of Israel standing before the promised land, ready to enter something new. Something that God himself has given. Something that God has laid in front of you and told you, go and possess it. It's time. How about retirement after many years of employment? Or how about looking forward to an extended vocation or a vacation? Or how about taking a trip overseas to a brand new place? Or taking a trip out of the country for the first time for a vacation to a place you've never seen before except for in pictures? Only to find that it's not like in the pictures. Sometimes these experiences in the journey of life are like this. It's like life is just bumping along and everything is normal. And then all of a sudden, a moment of transition, a new experience, a new opportunity, a new phase hits you all at once. And it's time. It's time to take that step. It's like the heat that hits you inside of a parked car on a hot summer day when you open the door after hours of shopping. Or perhaps it's like that blast of hot air that hits your face when you open the stove to see if that brownie or that apple pie is ready finally to eat. That's what it's like sometimes when you face a new experience, something that God has placed in front of you as the next step, and it's new. It's like the nation of Israel ready to go into the promised land. God brings these opportunities along. He opens the door. He leads you into them, and he hopes that you will seize and savor these new experiences of your life with one very vitally important perspective, that you will do so loving him with all of your heart. When he gives you the keys to that car, literally, for the first time, and the license is yours and no one's sitting beside you, what is the risk that your parents are taking? That while you're driving, you will love them with all of your heart. That you won't go racing and hot riding. That you won't go acting crazy or not paying attention or being more concerned about what's on the radio than what's in front of you. That you're going to drive responsibly. There comes a time where you have to do this, but you have to do it responsibly. When a child gets dropped off at school for the first time, it's important. But that child will only benefit if they do so loving their parents with all of their heart. When you enter into that marriage, it's important to enter into that marriage loving your spouse with all of your heart, not loving yourself. When you enter into these new phases and stages of life, ultimately, God hands them to us, and he's like a parent, just excited and so happy to hand over something new and exciting to a child, to watch them cross the podium in graduation or to buy their first house and to help them with that down payment. These things that parents get to help with. And ultimately, God gives these experiences to us in our lives as children, teens, and adults. But he does so, and each time, he lays before us the opportunity to do it with all of our heart for him. Because he knows every next phase that he hands us, every next privilege that he hands over, every next new experience and responsibility that he ushers into our lives, like that wish of hot air out of the stove or out of that car. He knows that it could be a moment in time where he loses your heart. And your heart becomes focused on that thing. And if you study the book of Deuteronomy, you find that the nation of Israel, God warned that when you go into this land, there are going to be other nations around you introducing very wrong ideas to you. There will be other ladies that are not godly ladies that will be very attractive. There are going to be other ways of carrying out your life and worshiping, and these kind of things will be very interesting and curious to you. When you go in, you're going to have nice houses handed over to you. You're going to have all kinds of delicious, wonderful food. You're going to have water at your fingertips. You're going to have comforts and enjoyments, all that you want. You're going to have lots of material wealth and lots of recreation. And he gave it to them. But he said, please, when you take these things, love me with all of your heart. We're going to look next Wednesday at what do we do if we've been through experiences in our lives and we've not loved God with all of our heart, and somewhere in one of these transitions we've got off track and we lost our heart for God and we've lost God in the transition and in the wave of the new experience. What do we do? Can we get that love back? We can, but we're going to look at that next Wednesday. But the thought that I want to lay before us tonight is on the front end. We're at a time of transition. I know that in our congregation there are some people looking at getting new jobs. There are students getting ready for a new year of school. There's going to be a new classroom, a new teacher perhaps. For some of you teachers, you're going to have a new classroom. It may not be a different room, but it's going to be a different set of kids. It's going to be a new experience. Some of us are getting ready to enter college for the very first time or enter into other exciting experiences in life. And my challenge to us is to do it loving God with all of our heart. God is handing these things to you. God gives the new class. God gives the new grade. God gives the new job, the new car, the license. God gives you the marriage. God gives you the spouse. He gives you the house and the retirement and the wealth and all the things that he gives you. It is God giving it to you. Every good gift is from above, James 1 says. It is the only possible source, God. But every time God gives a good gift, he runs the risk of us loving the good gift and not him. Has God lost you in any of the gifts that he's given to you? What new experiences is God sending your way in the days, weeks, and months ahead? What new steps of transition, steps of progress in your life is he handing to you? Will you enter that, take that, receive that, and experience that? Loving God with all of your heart. That's the simple challenge for us tonight. Next week we will look at what about the transitions we've blown? What if we've left our heart for God somewhere in the past? We're going to find that. But tonight, let's pray about these new experiences. If you're heading off to a new year of college, in the prayer time, ask God to help you to do it with all of your heart, loving him. Going into a new grade in your school, ask him to help you to do it with all of your heart. Whatever it is that you're facing, a new job, anything, love God with all of your heart.